resurrection was very, very soon. Maybe, perhaps, he could even hear them sharpening the blade that was going to be used to cut his neck. Maybe he understood and realized that the person who's going to execute him had already come by and seen him. He knew that he was going to die very soon. So he had a choice. He could panic and he could be upset and he could whine and he could cry, or he could say, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, your will be done in my life." So what did the prisoner do? Here in 2 Timothy, we see what he did. We see what he did. Verse number 4, or chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul writes these words. He says, "I charge thee," speaking to Timothy, "I charge thee that therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Timothy, I want you to preach the word. I want you to be instant in season and out of season. Timothy, I want you to reprove. I want you to rebuke. I want you to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Why, Timothy? Why do I want you to do this? "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." He says, Timothy, do these things and be consistent, because there's going to come a time where people aren't going to want to listen to it. There's going to come a time where people will hear it, but they won't pay any attention to it. They'll be too busy on their cell phones. They'll be too busy on their iPads. They'll be too busy watching this. And no, of course he didn't understand about iPad, but he's saying, listen, Timothy, just do what you know to do. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." He says, but instead of giving up, he says, "Watch thou on all these things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And then Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, Timothy was a young pastor that Paul was writing these letters to. Paul was in prison. And what was he in prison for? Embezzlement? No. Murder? Absolutely not, even though he had murdered several people before he got saved. Was he in prison for lying and cheating and stealing? No. What was he in prison for? Living for Christ. Preaching Christ. He was in prison for doing what he was encouraging Timothy to do. And there he was in the prison, languishing and suffering every single moment. But he's not saying, "Timothy, come get me out. Timothy, organize a protest. Timothy," no, he's saying, "Listen, Timothy, you do what I taught you to do." Because he says, "I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He says, "Timothy, I'm about to die, and I'm ready." Whew. How many of you are ready to die? A few of you are. I remember when I was 22 years old, I weighed about 180 pounds. I had muscles back then. I had more hair back then. I could dunk a basketball. And I thought 30 years old was old. I thought 30 years old was to the point where I wouldn't even make it to 30. I was 10 foot and bulletproof. And I wasn't ready to die, because I had too much living to do. Paul says, "I'm ready to go." See, here's the issue of life. We can get so absorbed in this world and get caught up in this and get caught up in this that we're not ready to die. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to take a busload today. I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to pull the bands up and we're going to load up and we're all going to go die. That's not what I'm saying. But here's the issue. We've got to understand that we're all destined to die unless the rapture takes place. Paul says, "I'm ready." And then he says this. Why is he ready? He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." He says, "I have done what God has called me to do. Henceforth, because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." He says, I know I'm getting ready to die. I hear the executioner coming. But you know what? I've finished what God has called me to do. So when are you going to die? When am I going to die? As soon as God is done with me. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week, next month, next year. I don't know. I don't have any clue. But I know this. I want to live every day for God's glory until that day comes. I don't want to just barely slide in under the wire and say, "Whoo, I made it." I want to live every day to the fullness of bringing God glory. My life has not always been that way. But the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that's when the journey began. Paul's languishing in the prison, and he's ready to die because he's finished his course. Now, we started a couple weeks ago about the end times, about what's going to take place. We spoke 2 weeks ago about the rapture, and the question arose, what happens after the rapture? Are we just going to sit up in heaven strumming our harps, drinking chocolate milk, have banana splits all you want, never gaining an ounce, watching football or baseball or whatever and just sitting there enjoying? What are we going to do? What takes place? Well, let's look at what the Bible says about what takes place. The very first thing that takes place is called the Bema Seat of Christ. The Bema Seat of Christ. Let me show you here. All right. You're here in the book of Timothy, but I want you to go to Romans chapter number 14 with me. Romans chapter number 14. We'll start there. Romans chapter number 14. The Bema Seat of Christ. Now, Brother Brian, that's a strange word. I've never heard that word, Bema. Well, let me explain it to you here. Romans chapter 14, verse number 10. The context of what Paul is writing here, the people are judging each other and making this account and that account, and Paul makes it very plain that it's not us going to judge each other, it's going to be God that judges us. Romans chapter 14, verse number 10, he says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the Bema," or the judgment seat, "of Christ." There's some things you need to pay attention to. We. Who is he speaking about when he says we? Is he French? We. He's speaking about believers. So write your name right here next to this verse. Jesus Christ is your Savior. Your name goes right here. He is speaking to you. He says, we. And then he says this. What's going to happen? We shall all, who? Everybody, all Christians, we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, we're going to stand before Christ after we die, or after the rapture takes place. We are going to stand before Christ. Now, when is this going to happen? Well, in order to stand before Christ, there's got to be a significant event that takes place for that to happen. All right? You either die or the rapture happens. All right? The book of Hebrews says, it's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. I want you to be very clear in understanding this. Whether you believe in God or not is no significance whatsoever to this. This is going to happen. You can say, well, I don't believe in God, so I'm not going to participate. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. You can say you don't believe all you want to. This is still going to happen. We're all going to be judged. There's one of two judgments that everybody's going to face. This judgment or the great white throne judgment. If you're part of this judgment, the Bema Seat of Christ, you won't be part of the great white throne judgment. But if you're part of the great white throne judgment, you won't be part of this judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. We're all going to be judged. But let me show you what this judgment is not. Let me show you what it's not. Go to the book of Revelation real quick. Revelation chapter number 22. I'm going to show you what this judgment, the Bema Seat, is not. What it is not. Revelation 20, I'm sorry, not 22. Revelation 20. This is what the Bema Seat judgment is not. Okay. John is writing and he says, I saw these things. He says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. So this is evidently a place that when you're standing before God, you're not going to want to be. You're going to want to hide. You're not going to want to face this judgment. And I saw the dead, he says, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So there's people that were dead, that died, and now they're standing before God, and the books are opened. And what do these books say? These books are a record of what they did and what they didn't do. Now, why in the world are these people so scared? Why are they trying to flee from God's presence? Why in the world would they want to have God see them? Here's the reason. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up, which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now, let me be very clear on this. You either stand in God's presence in your works, or you stand in God's presence in the works of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to die to take our punishment away, so that when we stand before God, we will not stand in our works. We'll stand in the works of Jesus Christ. So when the books are opened, there will be no remembrance of sin when we know Christ is our Savior. But if you stand before God in your works, look at the results. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is going to be the judgment day for those who have not trusted Jesus Christ. I did not have my works covered. It's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. This judgment, you stand before God and God says, oh, I see your name. Oh, and all the things that you did. How many of you want everything you've ever done to be revealed? How about this past week? Could volumes be written about what you did this past week? And it's all meticulously recorded. Now, how does it work? Is God going to sit there and call your name and start saying, okay, October 12th, you did this, September, I don't know. But it's going to be very detailed. And you're going to be standing there, and God is going to be talking to you about what you did. And you'll have nobody to stand with you. But God, and God would say, nope. You have no defense whatsoever. Well, Brother Brian, I don't believe that. Okay. You can not believe it all you want to, but it's going to happen. The great white throne judgment. And what happens to those whose names are not found written in the book of life? What does it say? They are cast into the lake
of fire. He said, now, Brother Brian, why are you so stringent on telling us? Why do you tell us that? Because I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to die and go to the lake of fire. I don't want you to burn in hell forever. I don't want anybody to go there. I don't want the Taliban to go there. I don't want those who are opposing our country to go there. I don't want anybody to go to hell. That's why I'm telling this to you. You're going to be judged for your works. But the good news is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is not your judgment. You're not going to have to pay for your sins. Your works are not going to be revealed like this. Because why? Because Jesus paid it all. Jesus covered them all with His blood. And you'll stand before God, and God will not remember anything that you've done as a sin. It's covered forever. The book of Hebrews says, once for all. Which judgment do you want to be in then? Do you want to stand before God in your works? Or do you want to stand before God in the works of what Jesus Christ has done? Now, I could ask you to raise your hands. And hopefully everybody would raise their hand and say, I want to be covered. But there's someone here who may not want that. You want to earn it yourself. You're going to stand in judgment one day. Which judgment do you want to stand in? So let's go and look at the judgment that we'll stand in as Christians. We've already seen it where it says that we're going to give an account. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. He writes to the book in Corinth, or to the church in Corinth, and he says, here, listen, this is what you're going to deal with. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Now he is speaking here about dying. He is speaking now about what's going to happen to us eventually. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 1, he says this, for we, Christians, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, our bodies, was dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He says, listen, these bodies are going to dissolve one day. All those bodies that have been buried for thousands of years, what's happened to those bodies? They have dissolved. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. They've dissolved. So what's going to happen? We're going to get an eternal tabernacle that won't be dissolved. We're going to get an eternal body that's going to be wonderful. We're going to get an eternal body with no more aches and pains. You know another great thing? There's no humidity in heaven. Amen? At least as far as I know, the Bible doesn't say there is, but hopefully there's not. Verse number 2, he says, for in this, so because of this, we groan. Wow. How many of you got up this morning groaning? We groan and we're earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house, which is from heaven. We want that new body. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked or disembodied. In other words, we're not just going to be spirits floating up there in heaven and bouncing around like bubbles. That's not what it's going to be like up in heaven. Some people believe that when you die, you just kind of go float around up there in non-existence and as bubbles. No. That's what it doesn't say that. It says you're going to have a body up in heaven. And then it says, for we that are in this tabernacle, these bodies, we do groan, being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He says, listen, we can't wait to get these brand new bodies. We can't wait to get up there and have some permanence and some kind of a better body and a better existence. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. God has done this on purpose. Who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. He says, how do you know this is true? He gave us the Holy Spirit. When you buy a home or you buy a car or you buy something, sometimes you give earnest money. You give it as a guarantee that you're going to purchase that. So what guarantees us that we're going to get these brand new bodies? The Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's the earnest. Said God said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that it's going to take place. Now that says he has wrought us the same thing as God, who has given us the earnest of his Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Okay, so that tells me that while I'm physically here, I'm not in heaven yet. Okay, how many of you realize and understand that you're physically here this morning? You may be here physically, but some of you aren't here emotionally. We're physically here. Why? For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what we're trusting. But we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Many people have asked me, Brother Brian, what happens to our souls when we die? What happens to them? Well, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul immediately goes in the presence of God. There is no purgatory. There is no place where you get there and your family pays enough money and does a good enough work to get you up there. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's no place that you go to purge your sins before stepping up to the next level. If you know Christ as your Savior, boom, you're instantly there. There's no hesitation. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's what it says right here. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may yet be accepted of him. In other words, whether I'm in the body or I'm out of the body, I want my life to please Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to please Jesus? Do you want your life to count for something for him? Are you just kind of floating along like the feather in the wind, hoping somebody doesn't bump into you, and just kind of getting what you can get and enjoying what you can enjoy and just going through life? No, no, no. As Christians, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of the pastor. If your Bible says that, tear it up and throw it away. Because I can't even please myself. I can't please my pastor. She's sitting right over there. Amen. I want to please the Lord. Okay. Why? Why is this necessary? Look at verse number 10. For we, Christians, must all appear before the bema, or the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now in Romans he said the same exact thing. Here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says the very same thing. So what does it mean? That means that one day we as Christians will stand before Jesus, and everything that we have done as Christians will be judged by Jesus. Now, what about the things we did before we got saved? What happens to all those things? They're cast as far as the east is from the west. There is no remembrance of them. Jesus will not bring them up. He will not say, well, Brian, you remember in 1972 when Satan can bring it up all he wants to. Well, I remember Jesus saying, and Jesus will say, all I see is the blood. That's all I see. So then what are we going to be judged upon? What's it going to be? Here's what we're going to be judged upon. What we have done as Christians. Now remember, this has got nothing to do with your soul. Your soul is secured. You're not going to lose your salvation. But we're going to give an account of what we did in our bodies for Jesus and what we did in our bodies for ourselves. Every idle thought, every idle deed, everything we did in our own strength is going to become like wood hanging stubble on one side. And everything that we did for Jesus, bring him glory and honor, giving water to those who need water, food to those who need food, helping those who need widows and orphans, and serving and bringing glory to God, all that's going to be on the other side. And then the Bible says that fire is going to come down, and it's going to burn. And whatever side the fire burns is what you're going to have left. What do you imagine is going to happen to all the wood, hay, and stubble over here? Gone. And what makes up that wood, hay, and stubble? Your selfishness, your pride, things that you did for yourself and not thinking about other people, things that you did for your own pleasure, things that you did that brought yourself glory. All those things as Christians will be burned up. Now remember, your soul is saved. So what's going to be left over here after the fire consumes? The water you gave in the name of Jesus. The food you gave in the name of Jesus. The help you gave in the name of Jesus. The Sunday school class that you taught. The people you witnessed to. The people that you loved. The things that you did that brought glory to God. That will be left right here. Now remember, you're not going to hell, okay? So what's going to be left here is what you did for Jesus. Brought him glory. Let me ask you. Right now, if you were to face Jesus, which side would be left in a bigger pile? The wood, hay, and the stubble, which would be turned into dust? Or the jewels and the crowns that you did for Jesus? How dare you, Brother Brian? You can't judge me. I ain't judging you. Ain't a word. I am not, therefore, casting judgment upon you. Because when you stand in eternity, it's not going to be me judging you. It's going to be Jesus. Where is this going to take place? Immediately when the rapture takes place, it says it's going to take place in the clouds, in the heavenlies, in the presence of Jesus. Who's going to be judging? Jesus Christ. Now, unlike some people that teach that all your deeds are going to be put on a giant screen and your life's going to be replayed and everybody's going to be standing around watching, that's not going to happen. Nobody's going to be sitting there watching what you did. There's no need in it. It's going to be you and Jesus. So, Brother Brian, that means I can get saved and I can live like I want to live? Wow, I could pile up all this wood, hay, and stubble and it's going to be burned up, but I'm still going to heaven? Sign me up. Man, I want to get on that bus. I can live my life like hell and I can do what I want to do and woohoo, let's party. Here's the problem with that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. If you simply want to live that way, you want to get your asbestos fireproof suit on, and that's all you care about, may I tell you, you probably didn't get saved. Because if you trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're going to be changed on the inside. There's going to be something different about you. July 1987, I was a hellion. Lived my life like a reprobate. Doing what I wanted to do. 21 years old. Dunking a basketball. Doing whatever my flesh desired. If I would have died in July of 1987... I would have split hell wide open. But August 1987, something changed. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't begin a new life behavioral program. I placed my faith in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He changed me from the inside out. From that moment forward, I became a new creature. Let me ask you, has that happened to you, young people? Can you take a definitive time when you have truly placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Can you pinpoint that? Old people, can you pinpoint that? Or are you just kind of hoping so because your mom and dad go to church? Or you're just hoping so because your grandma and grandpa were founding members of the church? Or because you got dunked in some water somewhere, that you're basing your eternity on that? If you're basing your eternity on that, you're going to be seeing the revelation judgment. But there's been a time in your life when you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You've asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, and you understood and meant that. Then this is the judgment you face. Please look at me just for a minute, everybody. Just look at me just for a minute. Everybody. Which judgment are you facing? If it's the revelation judgment, that can change today. If you're going to face this judgment here in 2 Corinthians, which side have you built up? The wood, hay, and stubble? Is it way up yonder? And the things for Jesus is just a tiny little scrubby pile right here. You need to get your priorities in right. Stop living for yourself. Stop doing what you want to do and brings you pleasure only. Live for Christ. What authority do I have on that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, and whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. So which judgment are you going to be part of? Thank God Jesus paid it all. And in August 1987, I asked Jesus Christ to save my sorry soul. How tall is this side for me? Too tall. I'm ashamed of that. How about this side? Well, you're a preacher, Brother Brian. That should be 10 stories tall. I don't know. I hope. I want it to be taller before I die. Why does Paul say this? Here's what he says. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest into your consciences. Why do I preach this? Why do I stand up here and rant and rave Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights? Why do I do it? Because I get paid? No. Because I care about your soul. I care about your soul up there. I care about what happens to you in eternity. I want to see your perfect body in heaven, what it's going to look like. Man, I'm not going to have any fat in heaven. Praise the Lord. I believe we're going to eat and not get fat. Woo!
Amen.
No diets. I'll be able to dunk a basketball again. But you know what? All that means nothing. I'll get to see Jesus face to face. Because of what He's done. So what will I do with my rewards then? What am I going to do with all these jewels and crowns that I've built up? Take them to the bank and cash them and ride a Cadillac. No. The Bible says that I will then take these jewels and these crowns, and I'll give them back to Jesus. Now, why in the world would I do a crazy thing like that? Because he died for me.
Amen.
Say, I don't need crowns and jewels in heaven. I get everything I need in heaven. I need a bank account. I don't need a jacked up Jeep. I'll fly. I'll run. I'll live forever because of Jesus. How about you? I'm not calling you to be perfect. I'm just calling you to be obedient. Obedient to the Lord. Young ladies, Leah, Sarah, and Sarah, you played beautifully this morning. Thank you. If you did it for the glory of God, you got jewels and crowns up in heaven waiting for you. That's just as important as pulling weeds for the glory of God.
That's right.
Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
Let's all stand together for scripture. The judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Will you face that one day? Or will you face the great white throne? I can't look at you and tell you. You can impress me with your Bible, and you can impress me with the way you dress, and you can impress me with the fact that you brushed your teeth this morning. But I can't look into your soul because I'm not God. And you can't look into my soul. It's between you and him. So how about it? Which judgment will you face? If it's the one, the great white throne, it can change today. You say, Brother Brian, what do? You confess your sins to God and say, oh God, please forgive me of all my sins. Oh God, I need Jesus Christ to save my soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it says. But if you're going to face the bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, what do you do about that one? Live your life to bring him glory. That's what you've been called to do. I believe the rapture is very, very soon. Today, perhaps. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know everybody's condition in this room right now. There are some who are playing a game with their soul and they're refusing to trust you. They're refusing to listen to what you are doing and calling them to. I'm begging you, God, right now, break them. Cause them to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Please, God. There's some who do know Christ as their Savior, but they're living their life for themselves. They're living their life to please themselves and bring glory to themselves. I'm asking you, God, to please convict them and turn their life over to you the way it should be. And then, Lord, there's those who are just trying to make it day by day. Strengthen them and encourage them today. Help them to know and understand that you see it and you love them and you want to give them strength day by day. Please, Father, you're the only one that can do it. And I'm asking you right now to please do only what you can do because I can't. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to invite you to come if you want to come. I'll meet you down here and pray with you. Danny's going to sing, but you respond to what God's doing in your heart this morning.